Good morning. It's good to see everybody today. Wow, this is a quiet crowd. Good morning. Good. So if you've been to a place, like a location, an event, a get-together of some kind, and you're hanging out with all these people, you're kind of rubbing shoulders, you eat, you're talking, you're spending time all together, and then you get done with that event, that thing, and you go away later, and then someone comes and talks to you, is like, hey, did you realize that when we were doing that thing, there was somebody there that was like of significance? Somebody famous, like an actor or an athlete or an official of something, some kind or whatever. You had that experience and you're like, man, I wish somebody would have told me. Like if somebody would have told me that I would have been able, like to walk up and say hello and, you know, have my experience with this person that's like so famous, so significant. Last summer, we took a group of students to Carowinds during our summer staycation. Shameless plug, there's still spots for this summer. You can sign up. But last summer, we went to Carowinds. It was like 100 middle school and high school students. Sounds fun, doesn't it? To Carowinds for a full day. And we were walking around, riding rides, eating food, having a great time. And I was walking around with this group of students. And we were talking, kind of going through Carowinds. And all of a sudden, they stopped and they pointed at this person, this guy, kind of wiry, dark hair. And then he ran over to him and talked to him. I didn't think anything about it, not from our group. And then we kept walking and they eventually joined our group again. Well, about 20 minutes later, I overheard them talking, and I was like, guys, who was that? Like, who did you go talk to? And they said, you wouldn't believe it, Trevor. This guy, he's from a popular Netflix television show, which, because I'm a cool, hip, and awesome pastor, I totally had no clue what they're talking about. And on Netflix, there's a show called Stranger Things. So there's a character in that show called Dustin, and apparently Dustin was cruising around Carowinds, hanging out at the same time we were there, too. Now, I'll be honest with you, I had no idea what they're talking about. I didn't know the show, didn't know the actor, nothing. But I still wish somebody would have told me. So I would have walked up and be like, hey, dude, how's it going? Shook hands, said hello, maybe got an autograph, had something to brag about later on, you know? Here's the thing. I think this morning, there's a lot of us in this room, that we live our life day in and day out and not really recognizing that there is a spirit of God who is present with us at all times. And we don't slow it down enough. We're not quite aware enough to recognize that it's happening right in front of us. We started this series called Holy Spirit, God in the present tense. And the whole concept of this series is that there is this presence of God that is around all of us at all times. And he's working within the world. And most of us, we walk around oblivious to the fact that this is actually happening. You know, the Bible says there's this Trinity, this Father, Son, Holy Spirit that is a mystery to a lot of us. But as we put our faith and hope and trust in Jesus, this becomes a reality for us, something that we need to see and recognize within our life. And even this morning, as I talk about this, I know there might be some in the room that are skeptical of everything that I just said. Maybe some in the room are like, hey, listen, I can get that God is like a bearded guy in the Old Testament and he does those certain things. And I can even get with that maybe God was Jesus with flesh on walking around at some point in time. But to believe that God's presence is here with us right now, that's a bit extreme and a bit far-fetched, and it's farther than I can go. But during this series, our goal has been to show you that, in fact, God's Spirit is with us. Present here this morning, before you ever walked in the room, before you ever sat down, God's presence and His Spirit was here with us. I believe that all of us in this room, we come in contact with the Spirit of God, a lot of us on a regular basis, but have no clue that it's actually happening. And so just like going to an amusement park, going to a party or an event, and someone being there full of significance, totally oblivious that person is there, a lot of us walk around in our life totally oblivious to the fact that the Spirit of God is available to us today. And if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, the Spirit of God is here right now with us this morning. And this series, Holy Spirit, God in the present tense, is all about discovering that this is an actual reality within our life. Here's the truth. In our life, there are a lot of things that we've accepted as truth that, if we're really honest, are actually really, really mysterious. Pastor Greg Boyd points out two of those. Think about space and time. I mean, think about time for a second. Can you fathom there being like a beginning of time at some point in time, a long, long time ago? Like it began here and boom, now it's running and it's going. One day it'll terminate. Can you fathom that? Or can you fathom that there is no beginning to time, like it's always been and it always will be? I mean, either way, that blows my mind. I can't fathom it. Or think about space for a second. If you think about what's past Earth, way out into space, can you fathom space ending, like terminating, like boom, this is space can go no further. This is all it does. Or conversely, can you imagine space just continually growing? I mean, constantly, forever, in infinity, going out in all directions. That blows my mind. But here's the thing. We've become so acquainted with space and time. We live in it every single day that to us, we've just accepted it as truth and forgotten that to us, in fact, this is a massive mystery that many of us in this room, we cannot explain. But we're familiar with it. I really believe the Holy Spirit is very similar to both of these. The problem is that most of us are not familiar enough with the Holy Spirit to just accept it as truth. For a lot of us, we become skeptical because we have not familiarized ourselves with the living God in our life right here and right now. And not only that, but the implications that might have within our life if it is true. And this morning, I believe it is. The Bible tells us in Genesis, the Spirit began a long time ago. In fact, when creation was taking place, heavens and earth, the entire universe, when God was creating all of this, the Bible says the earth, before it was formed, was still void, dark, and chaotic. And the Bible says hovering above the waters was the Spirit of God, ready to come in and give order to the chaos, to give life to all things. The Spirit was there in the very beginning. The Hebrew writers, when they talk about this concept, the Spirit of God, the Hebrew writers called it Ruach. Everyone say Ruach. Get the ch in there. It helps. Ruach. This Hebrew word literally means energy, vitality. And so when the Hebrew writers wrote about the Spirit of God that was working in the world, that was hovering over the waters, that was giving order to chaos, that was bringing light from darkness, this particular spirit was known as Ruah, this energy and vitality. In fact, the same word used for Spirit of God is the same word that's used for wind. I mean, the wind itself, we can't see it, but we can feel its effects. You can feel it on your skin or see the trees sway and move in the wind. You can see its effects even though you can't see it itself. This is Ruah. This is energy. This is vitality. This is spirit. And not only that, but in the Genesis, in the first book of the Old Testament, this book also talks about another thing. It's the same word, ruach, and this means breath. The same word, energy, vitality, breath, and wind. This breath is something that's been given to us by God. Everyone take just for a moment a deep breath. Just take it in. You feel that? That energy, that vitality, that life. This is ruach. This is the spirit in the presence of God. Do you realize that when you came into this world, the very first thing you did was take a what? A breath into your lungs. And the last thing that we will do as we pass from this earth, we'll take one final breath. This ruach, this energy, vitality, the spirit of God. It's present all around us at all times. The question is, are we willing to allow ourselves to be aware of it? To see it happening all around us. The Spirit of God, it brings order out of chaos, light out of darkness. It brings life after death. You see, in the scriptures, we see the Spirit of God show up in people's lives and actually step into moments throughout human history in all kinds of ways. We talked about it in Genesis at creation. The Spirit was there working with the Father and the Son to bring life to all things. In the Old Testament, we see a man named Joseph who's arrested. He's put into prison. And the Bible says the Spirit of God comes upon him so that he can interpret dreams. His ability by the Spirit to interpret these dreams eventually leads to his release from prison. He actually then becomes the catalyst for a rescue of all the Hebrew people. You have King David, who the Spirit of God comes upon so he can defeat a giant named Goliath and then lead God's people in some of the most prosperous times ever for the Hebrew people. Then the Spirit of God also comes and he fills a group of prophets, people like Elijah, Daniel, and Isaiah in the Old Testament. And the Spirit comes into them, gives them the strength and the boldness to see things the way God sees things on the earth and to bring a message to the earth then and also the earth now to speak to everyone and say, listen, this message you must receive. And here's what they said. This ruah, this life and vitality of God created everything beautiful and perfect. But humankind, by our injustice, our selfishness, our greed, we have introduced once again this chaos into the world. And sin has permeated every corner of the earth. But the prophet said this in the Old Testament, that one day the Spirit of God would come once again. And when the Spirit would come once again, he would come and make all things right. That the Spirit that created things in the first place would come and recreate things and put them back into the way they were always meant and always intended to be. You see, the Spirit of God is a catalyst for transformation. A catalyst for transformation. And this transformation begins in the New Testament. There's a man named Jesus. You may know about him. He actually goes and is baptized in the Jordan River. And the Bible says when he comes out of the river, the Spirit of God comes down and descends and lands on him like a dove. And at that moment in time, Jesus begins his earthly ministry. And for 3 years, Jesus begins to heal the sick, cast out demons, make people well, preach the good news, and begins to recreate all the things that were broken by the Spirit of God. This Ruach did not just create the world, but this Ruach, this energy and vitality, is actually putting things back to right once again through this person, Jesus, by transforming human hearts and changing the world back to the way that it was first intended. Now, I'll admit to you, when I first began to read the Bible, when I became a young Christian, I used to get so frustrated by reading the Old Testament and seeing God like show up in these kind of instances, but very big, right? He would speak from the sky, pillars of smoke, pillars of fire. There was not like a physical form, but he still was very present with the Israelite people. He rescued them over and over and over again. That sounded cool to me. And then the New Testament, Jesus shows up. It's God in the flesh, actually walking around, spending time with people. He's healing the lame, making the blind to see, feeding thousands of people with a few loaves and some fish. I mean, miraculous things. That sounds cool too. And then I found out in Scripture that after Jesus dies, is resurrected, ascends into heaven, the Bible says in Acts that the Holy Spirit then comes and begins to live and dwell inside of people. And I'll be honest, when I first read that, I was like, what a ripoff. Like, I would much rather have God doing these crazy things in the Old Testament. That would have been so amazing. I would rather have God in the flesh and Jesus walking around, being able to touch and buddy up with him. Instead, we get the Holy Spirit. But as I've gotten older and I've learned more and read more, I've come to realize this Holy Spirit, this is not God getting further away from us. This is as close as God can get to us. Do you realize the Spirit of God, a part of the Trinity, all the Godhead, one and the same? This means the God of the universe lives and dwells inside of you as a follower of Christ. Think of the implications of that. And my question is simply this: how many of us live as if we have the Holy Spirit of God living and dwelling within us? And for a lot of us, how often we actually recognize the fact that he's here and he's working and he's doing things? How would that change us? How would that change the world? So I want to try once again this morning. I want to introduce you to the Spirit of God, not as a thing or an idea, but as he is, as a person who's intimately involved in creation, who's working even now. Because here's what I believe. At first, when you first meet someone, there's little history, right? You don't have a lot of stuff to go on. You don't really know them. You're just trying to kind of figure out what this person's like. For a lot of these graduates who are sitting up here right now, I've known them, like I said, since maybe sixth grade, maybe even younger. And so if some of them were to walk in a room that I was in and my back was turned, I heard one of them speak, I would be able to tell you who it was. Maybe a letter was written to me and given to me. I could read that letter and potentially be able to tell you, I know exactly who this is. Here's why. I've spent time with them. I know them. I've become familiar with them. And the Holy Spirit is the same. If he is a person, this means that we have to spend time getting to know what he's like, how he functions, how he moves. And if we do, I believe we begin to have a sense of his work in the world around us. I believe we begin to have a sense of his overwhelming love for us. I believe we get a sense for his leading and his guidance within our life. If all of this is true, this is what's available to us. So let me introduce you. First and foremost, the Spirit of God is in our corner. The Bible teaches that the Spirit of God is in our corner. The Spirit of God is like the embodiment of God who is for us. This God is Team Cameron. He's Team Allie. He's Team Trey. He's Team everybody. He is in our corner. This is what the Spirit of God does. In fact, John chapter 14, verse 26, here's how it says it. Jesus is speaking here, and he's speaking to his listeners. He says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things and remind you of everything that I have said to you." This word advocate that's given here that Jesus speaks is a very specific Greek word, parakletos, and it means comforter. It means helper, intercessor, counselor. The Spirit of God is in our corner. I don't know about you, but I've experienced so many circumstances and situations in my life that I did not know what to do next. Amen? Anyone in the room? I mean, something's come up, and everything was going fine, and all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute, I don't know what to do now. I had a plan, the plan's gone, I don't know what next step to take. Or maybe in the room, you've been hurt in such a significant and deep way that to be able to get past that hurt just seems so foreign to you. It doesn't seem like it could ever be possible. But the Bible says the Spirit of God has been given to us, and if we know him and we understand him, he's been given to us as our comforter, as our guide, as our leader. He's been given to us as our counselor to give us direction. He's been given to us as our intercessor to pray on our behalf. Even for these graduates, as you go into the next step of your life, whether it's high school, grad school, undergrad, whatever it might be, you are entering new uncharted territory, no pressure. But you're gonna come across things that you've never had to deal with before. And maybe you're gonna have to say, hey, listen, Spirit, I need your help because I've never done laundry before in my life. I don't know what to do. Spirit, would you show me how to budget my money because it's running out and I've got 3 more months till I get to go home for Christmas. Spirit, would you help me? But there are so many things that all of us in our life, all of you, that we have to navigate within life, and it's not easy. How do I handle this friendship that's fallen apart? What do I do? Spirit, would you show me? Would you give me good counsel? Spirit, I've been hurt. God, I've been hurt by this person or by this thing, this abuse that took place. I don't know how to move past it. But Spirit, would you come into my life? Would you be my comforter? Would you lead me through this and show me how you want to use this? Because I don't get it. You see, the Spirit of God is in our corner at all times, looking out for our best interests, leading us in the right direction. It's like my kids, as they get older, and I don't mean to bring this up, parents, it might be a rough subject for those of you who are graduates, but my kids are getting older, 6 and 3. And I know within a blink of an eye, I'll be sitting here celebrating them in the exact same kind of way. As I watch them learn and grow, they're coming across things that they have no idea how to handle, whether it's friendship or school or family, all these instances, and they're like, Dad, I don't know what to do. And we're like trying to learn all kinds of things, like potty training and like riding bikes. And I'm potty trained and I can ride bikes. And so one of my jobs is to help them, to lead them and to guide them. That's part of my job. But here's the key. The only way this is beneficial to my kids at all is if they are willing to receive it. If they're willing to take it in. You see, the Spirit is always guiding, always leading, always comforting. He's in our corner at all times. But for some of us, we keep him at arm's length. I got it, God. I can handle this on my own. I know exactly what I'm doing. God, I know you've tried to speak into my life by this person or that thing or years being in this student ministry or whatever it might be, but God, I can do it on my own. Believe me, I've got it under control. And the truth is, if we're honest, we don't have it under control. At any moment, things could fly out of control. And what the Spirit does in our life is he comes in, he's in our corner, prompting us, leading us, comforting us, and giving us godly and good counsel to know what to do next within our life. Secondly, the Spirit of God points us to Christ, points us to Jesus. Here's what John 15, verse 26 says. Jesus is speaking once again. He says, when the Advocate comes, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will what? Testify about me, Jesus says. You see, one of the fundamental jobs that the Spirit has within our life is to point us towards Jesus, to point us towards Christ, the greatness and the supremacy of Jesus Christ. You know, throughout history, a lot of people have been tempted to believe the Holy Spirit is less important than God the Father or God the Son because of their prominence within Scripture. But to make that assumption, we miss out on the fact that what the Spirit is he is humble in nature. So he stands back and he says, look at Jesus. Look at Christ. Look at Jesus. My wife and I were just talking about this the other day, but we have pictures, you know, on our phone or on our computer, maybe even like actual photos in our house. If you go back and look through those photos, you'll see all kinds of pictures of our two boys, or me and our two boys. But hardly ever do you see pictures of like Jenna and the two boys. Moms in the room, can I get amen? And I hear this all the time. Would you take pictures of me and my children? I want to make sure that they knew I was alive when I was there, you know? I was there, that thing with them. And here's what happens. Many people might look at that and be like, well, because Jenna's not in the pictures, that must mean she's less important. Au contraire, that is not true. In fact, I would contend that Jenna is more important. And she's the one who has the conscience to be able to realize that these moments are fleeting and they're going to go fast. We need to document this and get a picture of this immediately, right now. It's out of humility that moms, you do this so well. For these graduates, even now, you probably have pictures of you as a baby and you can thank your mother when you leave here today. But the Spirit does the same thing. See, the Spirit understands and realizes the significance of Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection. The Spirit recognizes what this can do within your life personally. And so what the Spirit does constantly, over and over, and at all times, is points us towards Jesus. You're going through a difficult time. The Spirit says, look to Jesus. You've been hurt. You're going through a difficult season of your life. Look to Jesus. You don't know what to do next. Look to Jesus. The Holy Spirit over and over and over again points towards Christ. The Bible seems to suggest there's like this beautiful dance taking place between this three-part Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all on equal grounds with one another. But the Father is constantly reaching out towards us, and he's reaching to us through the Son. And in the Holy Spirit, what he's doing is he is taking us back, giving us back to the Father through the Son. And it's constant at all times. And the Holy Spirit at all times is pointing to Jesus as the key, the crux of the entire thing. Third, maybe most significantly, the Spirit changes us. The Spirit transforms us. In this room, if you're anything like me, there are so many things in my life that I want the Holy Spirit of God to change within me. I mean, there's been a lot of work done, but there's a lot of work to go still. Just ask Jenna, that's true. Everyone in the room, there is some work the Holy Spirit wants to do within our life. He wants to change us and transform us. And this sounds so easy, but it's actually not, because for most of us, what it means to be a Christian is simply that we just try to rearrange all the things that we already have within our life. So that things might go well, things might feel a little bit better, you might be a little bit happier, you might be successful. But here's what I've come to find in my life. The Spirit is not interested in just rearranging the pieces that you already have. The Spirit is not interested just being shoved into a corner with all the other stuff that you have within your life. The Spirit is interested in seeing you empty yourself, get rid of some of these things to make space so that you might become filled by the Holy Spirit. To become filled with what he wants to do within your life. You see, what I found in my life and many lives around here is that we're so full of everything else besides really desiring the Spirit of God to live and dwell within us. Like, what if some of those things were to actually be purged out of our life to make space for the Spirit to take hold of our life? Here's what I think would happen. This wind, this vitality, this energy, this ruach might take hold of our life and begin to change things. So all of a sudden we begin to find out that we're treating our spouse differently with self-sacrificial love by the Spirit of God. And then maybe when we go home, we begin to make time and space for our family finally, and we're sitting down and we're having dinner together and we're really loving our kids well by the Spirit of God. And maybe we find that we become generous people. We're wanting to serve and give and help people around us by the Spirit of God. And see, some things need to be purged out. So pornography has to go. Infidelity has to go. Selfishness and gossip has to go so we can begin to encourage and lift others up. You know, so for a lot of us, we are so full of so many other things that we don't leave space for the Spirit of God to fill us and then transform and change us. Here's how I know this is true. I've lived it. I know that 10 years ago, I'm not the same person that I am today by the Spirit of God. But I know this too, 10 years from now, I will not be the same person either by the Spirit, the energy, vitality, by the Ruach, the Spirit of God. If the Spirit fills us, he can begin to work within us. But maybe it begins by us first recognizing that we are so full of everything else, there's no space left. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says it this way, and we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory and being transformed into his image by ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the what? Spirit. this transformation process, becoming the image of Jesus Christ slowly but surely. This takes place by the Spirit of God working within us, filling us to begin to make us the people that he wants us to be. The ultimate goal of the Spirit, the ultimate goal of this energy is that we would become new people. That wherever creation is broken, recreation takes place. Wherever things are not as they should be, they begin to come into the place they should be. This takes a lot of effort, a lot of intentionality to allow the Spirit to prompt us and lead us in these kinds of ways. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 through 14 says, as we end this, what we have received as Christians is not a spirit of the world, but instead a spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught to us by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept these things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolish and cannot understand them because they are discerning only through the Spirit. What if we were to allow ourselves to begin to see, maybe for the first time, that God is wanting to teach us about this piece of who he is that we have left largely unnoticed? What if we were to begin to familiarize ourselves, become aware of God's leading and prompting within our life? I believe it's something that has to take place within our minds and our hearts to see it differently. I think we have to begin to live with the mind of Christ, which is very different from the mind of the world. Very different from the kind of mind that maybe you have had or I have had for much of my life. To begin to see differently when God is moving. One of the first times I remember really ever really significantly seeing God's Spirit in my life was when I was in eighth grade, actually. I was in Mexico on a mission trip with my family and a bunch of other folks, and we were in this village way out in the middle of nowhere, and we were having a worship service in this kind of barn, and we were seated on these pews all together, and I got this brand new hat the Christmas before. I'd just gotten it, and it was brown on top, had a black bill and a Nike black swoosh on it, and it was so cool. And so I was wearing it, and I'd only worn it a couple times, and we're in this worship service. I'm sitting there in this pew. Everything's going on, and I look over, and when I look over, this little boy, a little bit younger than me, this little Mexican boy from that community sitting in a pew next to me, and I just sensed that God said to me, give him your hat. Now I'm eighth grade, so instantly I'm like, no. I just got this. It's probably $20 or something. It's Nike. It's super cool. The girls love it, and I'm not giving it to anybody. So sure enough, I kept sitting there and just kept looking straight ahead. I just could not shake it, man. I just felt like God was saying, give him your hat. You ever had a conversation with God, like an argument with God like that? I'm like, no, God, listen, this was given to me. My mother gave it to me. She'd be very upset if I gave it away. So I'm like rationalizing with him about all this stuff, and God just keeps saying, give him your hat. Give it to him. So finally, I made a deal with God. I'm sure you've done that too. I said, okay, God, here's the deal. If at the end of the service, I'm still thinking about this, then I'll give him the hat. But if not, I'm keeping it. Fair and square. So sure enough, the end of the service comes. Guess what I'm thinking about? The hat still. So finally, I decided, you know what? I'm going to do it. Whatever this is, I'm going to do it. And so I got up and I walked across the pew. I went to this little boy and I took my hat off. Just kind of looked at him for a second. And I handed him my hat. And he looked at me, and he turned and ran off. I was like, well, he doesn't speak English, but I thought maybe he'd be like, something would happen in this exchange, but instead he just took it and gone. I'll never forget that day. I mean, like yesterday, I can remember walking back to my group before we left in the vans to go back to where we were staying, and I just started weeping. And I wasn't crying because I had lost this precious hat of mine. I wasn't weeping because I may never see it again. I wasn't weeping about any of that. But for the first time in my life, I had this sense that I had heard from God and I'd been obedient. And I would love to say, and then everything changed in Mexico and it's all wonderful. That's not what took place. But something happened in my heart that changed that day. I began to realize that when I sit down and have conversations with people across the dinner table, the Spirit of God is present with us. When I sit down and I hug a graduate at a meal just a week ago, there's the Spirit of God there with us right there. When I spend time talking and praying with my wife in our house or even talking to my children about things that took place that day, the Spirit of God is present with us right here in the present tense, wanting to work, wanting to prompt and lead and guide and counsel. But we must become aware of him. Become familiar with him, to know the way he works and the way he speaks and the way he leads and the way that he guides. And please hear me. I know that some in the room still, even at the end of this, might say, that just sounds so crazy. It does. But I want to remind you of one thing that Scripture reminds us of. The same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit that came and gave life back to Christ's dead body, that same Spirit lives and dwells inside of you. That same power, that same Spirit can impact your life, change who you are, transform you, and in so doing, transform the world. This is what I believe with everything in me. I would find something else to do if I didn't. But the Spirit's changed me. I know it. And the Spirit has changed many in this room. I know it because I've seen it. And this morning, as we gather together, we're going to take part in communion to celebrate Jesus' life, death, resurrection. And not just that, but we celebrate the fact that God's presence is here with us today in a very real and mysterious way. In this cup and this bread, we invite the Spirit into our life that He might transform us, teach us, and guide us. I invite the ushers who are going to help with communion this morning to come down now. I would like to pray for everyone in the room. Would you bow with me? Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, would you fall fresh on us today? Would you help us to become fully aware of your presence within our life, God, so that we might live different kinds of lives, that we might love our spouses better, love our children more, that we would do our jobs and run our businesses in a different kind of way, the way we speak to people and treat people will be transformed by your Spirit, God. We pray for miracles and miraculous things within our life as we become aware of you working within us. So Father, right now, for any person in this room today who is in need of your Spirit's touch, would you do it right now, God? Would you speak to us, Father? Would you show us your love? Would you show us your grace and your mercy? Would you come and be here with us, present now? It's in your name that we pray.